podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 11. We've got a good one for you this week. Again, Will Ferrell is going to be on. Robin Cooper interviews Jamelia in a boat shop. Richard Bacon swings by. We play Quiz Face and my son receives a dressing down. So, let's begin with this bit.
Yes, we are XFM. Benny Wallace.
Good morning. This is the XFM Breakfast Show. So we've started already, kind of, as we were playing that. I mean, Phil, you were pointing at producer Dave and saying, do you know how much you look like Ryan Gosling? Just mere seconds before going on air.
Sorry.
That's the kind of stuff we need on the air.
I just couldn't help it, and it makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable now because I've got a slight man crush on Ryan Gosling now.
This is what's happening. There's a desk between you, but who knows what could happen by the end of the show.
It is true.
Is it true?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Ryan Gosling in the film looked a bit like H from Steps, and that sort of put me off slightly. Because it's like he's killing those people in a brutal way.
Yeah.
He's a really quiet, disturbing character.
Right.
But he looks like H from Steps. But now, it's dawned on me, he does look like producer Dave.
Well, the first time I saw producer Dave, I thought he seems quiet, disturbing, and looks like H from Steps. So, and it all seems to fit in. Phil, I think you owe someone an apology as well this morning, don't you?
Sorry.
It doesn't matter who it's to.
I was talking
about Carlos Tevez.
Oh.
I mean, you just went straight out there. You've accused him of something now, you know, of you know, just because you speak fluent Spanish.
Yep.
You know, so what do you think happened there? You think Tevez misunderstood the simple rules of football?
Yeah, no, I mean, what he said was that the manager didn't give me enough confidence to go and play. But yeah, listen, you know, it wasn't mistranslated. He said I wasn't in the right frame of mind to play, so I didn't play.
So that's right. So why is he blaming his translator? That's crazy. I'm on Carlos's side. And I think you got confused between substitute and Sabutio. And he thought that they were going, you were going to play Sabutio now. And he's going, what are you talking about? I'm a professional footballer.
Right.
I'm not playing Sabutio. For goodness sakes, guys, we've got a game on here. So that's my little take on it, Phil.
Possible.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and we're deeply excited this morning in the studio, are we not, Matt Dyson?
Yeah, we're in the company of a legend.
We are. My guest this morning spans the genres. Film star, movie star, star of the silver screen. He has all these things, and yet he has more. What many people don't know about this man is that this is a guy who has saved many lives. He's adopted almost every child he's ever met. He touches the hearts of men and women alike. Even just today in this building, Matt, many people are already claiming that he has touched them. He is His Majesty, Will Ferrell. He's here. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am great.
Good.
And yes, there are a lot of claims going around that I have touched people. You know, whether that's physically or just emotionally.
Well, they're saying physically.
Yeah. Okay.
They're quite clear about that.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
that your management team has been very insistent we point out this is not true.
That's what they have to say.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, help yourself to Matt.
Yeah.
He's right here. You can have a little squeeze
away. I cannot wait to touch you. that's my goal.
Good.
Yeah.
Will, the film Everything Must Go, I watched it last night. It's great. It's poignant.
You.
It's touching. It's kind of times it's sort of quite painful to watch.
It is a little, it's sometimes a little difficult. Yeah,
it is, but there's such a lightness of touch to it, and there's always a laugh around the corner. It's a very beautiful thing. What sort of brought you to it?
You know, I thought a really lovely script, and what really kind of intrigued me was just, you know, this unique opportunity to kind of be in a different type of film in a way, and do something a little more serious. And I just thought it was, I just love this premise, which is really unique about, you know, this guy who in one day loses his job, gets locked out of his wife has left him, everything, and he comes home to find all of his personal possessions are on the front lawn of his house, and instead of, you know, walking away from that situation, he decides to just set up shop.
Absolutely. He just stays there.
Yeah, live his life on his front lawn in front of everyone and try to figure out what he's going to do next. And that's kind of the leaping point for this journey that he goes on.
And you do so much with your eyes, so much acting with your eyes, just little turns and that kind of stuff.
I don't know if you're familiar with the publication Eye Acting Magazine, but
no,
they
I've
have
not seen
raided,
that.
Yeah, they're probably going to give me an eye acty which is
that sounds big.
One of their awards. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
So that's one of my skills that I haven't been able to show off.
The eye acting.
The eye acting.
There was talk a while ago about Anchorman 2.
There was some talk.
Come on.
And then the talk went away.
Why is it gone away? Bring the talk back.
Well, we'd love to, and we try to convince the studio that we get asked about it, you know, endlessly, which is so flattering.
Yeah.
But the studio.
Who should we ring? Who do I talk to?
You need to call the fine people at Paramount Pictures.
Paramount Pictures. And that's just on there. If I just
their reception. General information.
General information. Okay.
And
we'll do that. If I were to ring them,
log a complaint.
Log a complaint. if I log a complaint on the show after we play this interview, I mean, it would be nice if they felt there was a kind of groundswell, almost like a waterfall of complaints.
Sure.
So I'll log a complaint. Okay. Then Matt, you can phone back and log a complaint.
So then we got two.
Well, would you mind maybe just recording a little thing here? Just use an accent. Do whatever you like.
Okay.
We'll play one as well.
My many accents.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll just pretend that the dial. Hello, Paramount Pictures.
Yeah. Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Hello, I'm a little old lady, and I think it's really wrong that you don't want to make Anchorman 2. I'm 74 years old, as you can tell by the timbre of my voice, and yet even someone as old as English is not my first language, but even I would look forward to a sequel, so that shows that, you know, from a business standpoint, the demographic is a wide range, from young people to old, so why not make the movie? Thank you, beep.
Just, if you are listening to this at Paramount Picture, just for legal reasons, I should point out that was the actor Will Ferrell.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
I told you, didn't I, yesterday, about my infant son. He's 21 months old, and this show sometimes interferes with his morning routine, you know? My wife will be listening to the show in the kitchen. That's not sexist, it's just where she happens to be at this time in the morning, preparing, you know, his food and stuff like that, and he'll be watching CBeebies, and sometimes he'll run in and point at the radio where I'm talking a bit too loud and just say, Daddy, shh, BBs, right? And that hasn't filled me with confidence, you know. And you want your infant son to admire what you do, you know, to think of you as the... But instead, you know, he doesn't seem to. He likes the news, Matt. He likes the news. I told you that. When it says XFM, he'll point at the radio and go, news. Yeah. And the other day in the bath, he started kind of singing the theme tune a little bit, just going, do. So I got the little recorder on my phone out and recorded something with him so that you could see. And we put it to music. Here's what I recorded. And that, you know, that bit at the end is so like him going, Danny Wallace, like that. That's what I thought. Let's hear it isolated one more time. Sounds like he's saying the name of another radio station. One more time. Exactly. And this has filled me again with paranoia, and I thought it best to summon him to my study for a little talking to. This is what happened. Hi, do come in, take a seat, thank you. You're probably wondering why I've asked you here this morning. You know who I am, of course.
Daddy!
That's right, yes. Just quickly, before we start, can I get you a coffee or something? Or?
Yes, please.
Wife, can we get a coffee for our infant son, please?
Okay.
Thank you. Now, how to put this? You'll remember that last night, during your bath time, I asked you to record an audio drop as part of our XFM jingle package. Well, I don't really know why you're making that noise, but this is what you did. Do you see what's wrong with that? It sounds like you're saying Radio 1. Yeah, no, this is not funny. I don't know why you're laughing at it. Calm it down, please. This is not a laughing matter. Do you listen to them or something? Well, good. Because if you say that again, I will make you listen to them. Right, well, you just watch your step in the future, young man. So, for the last time, what is the name of the world's greatest radio station?
Radio 1.
Right, I'm going to make you listen to Dappy. There you go. Important life lessons there learned courtesy of my 21-month-old son.
We are... X.
XFM.
Just to let you know, of course, TV fans, if you're not near a television, we have a TV in the studio, and usually it's like, you know, sports stuff goes on to keep the other men here quite happy, keep them sort of subdued. Otherwise, they just start running around bumping into each other. At the moment, Jeremy Kyle is on, and the subject today is Dad, I'm not a murderer. It was my brother. Wow. Either way, that's not a great day for his dad, is it? Yeah. It's like, oh, great. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, it was my other son. whatever it is. So who knows what they're talking about. My favourite ever Jeremy Kyle subject. This is word for word what it said. Did my broke brother buy a seaside chalet with £12,000 I'd hidden in my freezer? The most specific problem. It's not like other people would be watching it, just walking by outside Curry's or something. Oh, yeah, that's happened to me. Happened to me. XFL. Will, I don't know if your representatives have explained this to you. They've probably been too busy dealing with the aftermath of all the touching.
Right.
But Touchgate.
Touchgate.
We're calling it. Yes. Certainly, yes. In the building, yeah. Is it? Part of the deal with coming on the XFM Breakfast Show is right. That I understand you're a busy guy, you've got things going on, but it'd be nice if you would sign up to a couple of projects that I've been developing with you very much in mind.
Okay.
So this is called Snap My Pitch Up.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious
to hear it. Okay.
Okay. Well, yes. Good. I mean, I don't know how these fit in with your oeuvre, but you like taking risks. We'll try it.
Sure.
First one is Feral Peril. Mm-hmm. Will Ferrell is released into the wild. That's it. That's the whole pitch.
Oh, okay.
I imagine at some point you'd be hunted by a pack of feral children, something like that.
And probably. Film
it documentary style.
And I'm just out in the wilderness
just out
somewhere.
In the wild. Out in the wild. Moving about.
Yeah, I'm.
You in?
That sounds pretty good.
All right, good. Yeah. I can tell you, Chinese television is very interested. that we might have to change the title for that market.
Would we shoot it in China?
We could do. Mm-hmm. If this is a deal breaker, we can certainly get in touch with Shanghai and Beijing.
Yeah. Let me think about it.
All right, yeah. that's a maybe.
I'll shoot it in Taiwan. I won't shoot it in mainland China.
Okay.
That's my one condition.
It's good to have principles.
Okay, yeah.
Pirelli Ferrelli. From the classic top-off half-turn to the coquettish lollipop-in-mouth dungarees down, this landmark HBO-BBC production traces the history of the Pirelli calendars by recreating every one of the 500 poses using just Will Ferrell and an old garage. No narration, no explanation, we let the pictures speak for themselves. Every shot stunningly recreated, but using your metrosexual looks to appeal to both sides of the sex market.
So it's just still after still after still.
Yeah.
It's a slideshow.
Yes.
That runs...
9 hours.
Nine hours.
I've worked it out nine hours long.
Easy. That's an easy one to say yes to.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, funding has been difficult to find for that one, but now you're on board.
It shouldn't be that expensive to shoot, right?
No, yeah. Just me and you in an old garage.
Yeah. That sounds slightly odd. I mean, it could... Yeah.
Yeah?
We'll see what happens with Touchgate.
Okay,
and see if
we'll
allowed
see how that pans out.
Yeah.
Meryl Ferrell, a classic Hollywood body swap romp. Will Ferrell meets Meryl Streep and gets into a heated argument about who loves each other's work.
It has to be heated.
Yeah, it has to be heated. Yeah.
Okay.
I loved you in Anchorman, Meryl will say, at midnight up an old clock tower.
And I loved you in Sophie's Choice.
Boom, you've got it.
Great.
Lightning strikes, Meryl becomes Ferrell. Ferrell becomes Meryl. You're forced to play an old woman in a Virginia Woolf film. Meryl ends up drunk with Luke and Owen Wilson. You will both learn something about yourselves. I don't know if that's interesting.
That's the one I'm least interested in.
Yeah. All right, well, good. Well, it looks like we're signing you up to...
two out of three.
Yeah, Pirelli Ferrelli, or the first one. You could have had Ferrell's Barrels, A History of Barrels, narrated by Will Ferrell. Mm-hmm. Merrily Ferrelli, where you're just dancing around like a simpleton, bringing joy to poor families.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is just in Hugh Jackman's Huge Black Men, which Hugh Jackman has just pulled out of. He says there's a scheduling clash.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if...
So now, but I would jump in for Hugh?
Yeah, I mean,
but
I don't know.
But then the title wouldn't make much sense if I'm in it, right?
Yeah, Will Ferrell's Hugh Jackman's Huge
Black Men. But maybe I'm playing... Maybe I'm... impersonating Hugh Jackman.
Great. Will Ferrell is Hugh Jackman and his huge black men. We've had a few texts in saying that my son doesn't sound like he's saying the name of a rival radio station. It sounds like he's actually doing something else. And quite a few people texted this in. This is actually a little more concerning, Matt, than I first thought. I thought it was concerning enough that he may have been saying what sounded like Radio 1, right?
Yeah.
But quite a few people are saying the following. Stephen in Chigwell, for example. Gemma says the same. It sounds like he's starting to sing a famous Status Quo song. So we've knocked it together. We've got the song. And let's see if it works. Hang on. Let's try it. We got it? Okay. Here we go. Wow! He's a rock star! Oh wow, excellent work. we will put that to bed now.
XFM.
Robin Cooper, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Are you all right?
Now tickets see Eurythmics live.
Yes. Yeah, no, we haven't got them to give away.
No.
Welcome,
London. What a fine day today. 29 degrees.
How are you coping with the weather?
Yeah, very well, actually. Yeah? I'm fine in hot weather. It's best not to wear, not too many clothes. Not like Matt here, who's, as usual, naked. Well, yeah. Actually, we wear a shirt. He's wearing a shirt, but nothing else below.
No, I know. It's that new fashion.
A bit more dignified.
I know. It's mainly girls that do that, you know, that wear a men's shirt and nothing else, which is a great look, but not on Matt.
No. You know, you should really think about putting some trousers on.
Yeah. Matt. Not just that belt. He's just got a belt around it.
How are you, Danny? Are you enjoying your work? Do you enjoy... How did you get into broadcasting?
How do you?
Did you?
How did I?
Right.
Not on purpose.
Okay, next question, please.
Yes. From me to you.
From you to me.
Robin, we were talking to you and saying we want to help you cut your teeth in terms of broadcasting.
Right, yes. Yeah, I remember that. It wasn't so long ago.
No, it's just a couple of minutes ago.
No,
exactly.
I do remember. I recall it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a couple of minutes ago. Yeah. And we said that we were going to try and sort out a celebrity interview for you.
Yes.
We've got one better than a celebrity.
Right.
We've got a superstar. It's Jamelia, everybody.
Yay!
Hello.
Hello,
Jamelia.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming in. We got you from the celebrity cupboard that we keep here.
You've been there for quite a while.
No, absolutely. Yep. You've been doing the breakfast show the last couple of weeks at Choice. Everyone said you've been doing an amazing job. Thank you so much for doing that.
No problem, thank you.
And Robin, I mean, what's your what do you want to know?
Well, I'm delighted to meet you. I've been a big fan of yours. How are you? Is my first question.
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Very, very well.
Did you enjoy to have you in? Is it you like getting up? Was it how? No, I've done how are. What would you ask?
I guess you. Well, you've done how are you? So put that to one side.
What's your favourite thing you like doing?
Hobbies and interests.
Probably eating and cooking.
If
and
you
eating
had to eat anything in front of me now, what would it be?
Maybe a donut. I like donuts.
Rice pudding?
No, I hate rice pudding.
Why?
It reminds me of my childhood.
Right. And what's well, right? Well, we
no, no, no. That made my childhood sound really bad. It's just that I just don't like rice pudding.
A lot of denial. your childhood. What occurred in your choice at one moment? Were you forced to eat bricks?
A lot of fantastic things, but I just remember being a child and my mum was one of these people that, you know, whatever she put on the table, we had to eat it. So rice pudding
was one
of the things.
So she did sometimes say, I know it's a brick, but you have to eat it because it's on the table. It might have fallen out of the ceiling onto the table.
Yeah.
What's on the table we eat? Example,
okay,
she puts the glasses on the table and you had to eat them? No.
Occasionally, yeah.
Right. Oh, well, but you've still got a wonderful singing voice despite eating all that glass.
I actually think the glass and bricks helped to develop my singing voice.
Right. What you like thinking about?
What I like thinking about?
Yes. What are you thinking now? Is that a valid question?
That's great.
Jonathan Ross asked that.
That's a terrific question.
So, am I doing all right?
Terrifically well.
Excellent.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're thinking nice. What's the last thing you bought?
The last thing I bought
from a shop that sells equipment for boats.
I don't think I've ever been to a boat shop.
Well, imagine, you know, it's a radio, it's imagination land.
Okay.
Imagine, right, I'll be the salesperson in the boat shop.
You've
just walked in. Hello.
Hi.
Excuse me, I'm serving a customer. No, we don't. And sorry, sir, I've told you have to leave the shop if you're going to be rude. So sorry about that. How can I help you?
I'd like to buy some scuba diving gear, please.
Certainly. That's on the third floor. The lift is out of order. I'll wait for you at the top.
Do it, Dave.
Hello, and thank you for calling Paramount Pictures.
Our operating hours are Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. You have reached the studio after normal operating hours, but your call is important to us. In order to better assist you, please press 1 for the automated directory or press 0 at any time to return to the main menu.
Hello, I'm a little old lady, and I think it's really wrong that you don't want to make Anchorman 2. I'm 74 years old, as you can tell by the timbre of my voice. And yet, even someone as old as my English is not my first language. But even I would look forward to a sequel. So that shows that, you know, from a business standpoint, the demographic is a wide range, from young people to old. So why not make a movie? Thank you, Beep. We are.
XFL. It's Richard Bacon, everybody.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello, Danny Wallace. Hi, buddy. Because I realised when you were about to walk in that this whole studio smells of flaccid omelettes and toast. But you have brought with you some kind of, I don't know, you're a human air freshener.
Well, I think, Danny, but this is what happens in radio, isn't it? That these rooms, they have no windows, they're airtight, they're a little bit unpleasant. Yeah. I don't think it's to do with me, I just think that I'm a contrast to your germ-infested radio studio.
Yeah, no, it's not a pleasant studio at the best of times, but no, what is the scent, just in case there are any scent fans?
It's called NYC.
I see.
Named after a city that you might be familiar with.
New York, of course.
And also, Danny, I like to keep it real,
yeah.
Which I always used to do when I was here at XFM. Mm. I like to live the same sort of life that the listeners lead.
Yeah.
And so I got that particular aftershave from Harrods,
right.
Which is the only shop that sells it
Britain. You're a real man of the people.
Oh, very much so.
You can look at Richard's diary and it's just what everyone else is doing. For example, in about 15 minutes' time, you're off to the Tory Party conference. that's in your other job as a broadcaster.
Make it clear,
yes.
I have not joined the Conservative Party.
Okay, absolutely.
That for the record.
How is it being back at XFM? You were here for quite some time, a few years ago.
Well, I loved it. I worked on XFM and then I made a slightly disastrous move to Capital Radio.
Right. From this very studio.
And I presented it from this very room, yeah. And I wouldn't say it worked out. I wouldn't say that the listeners either understood it or enjoyed it. We had as a sidekick, I had a Scientology god called Kaboobu. And the joke was that he always wanted the listeners' money, but they didn't appear to laugh.
Right, fair enough. Is Kaboobu still around? Can we maybe...
You can get him on the phone if you like.
Well, because Matt is, like yourself, Matt is about to have a child. So I'm going to need someone else to talk to. You know, I can't just bring my child in. Yeah, I could do with Kaboobu.
Well, I think the XFM listeners, because they're more intelligent than the Capital Radio listeners.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, they are.
Yes, absolutely. No, we're well aware of that.
They would understand jokes about Scientology.
Yeah, absolutely they would. Beer and Pizza, the show, the one series you've already done, the second one starts tonight on ITV4.
Look, Danny, think of the great TV shows that have been on British television.
Yeah.
Think of Dennis Potter's The Singing Detective.
Yes, thinking of that.
You might remember Boys from the Black Stuff.
Oh, terrific.
God, the Forsyte Saga.
Yes.
To that canon can now be added Richard Bacon's Beer and Pizza Club Series 2 on ITV4.
Exactly. And that was your decision. You wanted to keep it quite low-key, you know, quite sort of underground. So you went, get me on ITV. They were going, what do you want, ITV1 Saturday night?
No way.
No, put me on ITV4 on a Tuesday night, you said.
That's what I said. Yeah. Ideally at about 10 p.m.
Yes.
I'll be honest, until I did this show, I didn't actually know there was an ITV.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
A fella called Ian Neal, who grew a 6-stone Swede.
Wow.
That's a big old vegetable. Big old vegetable. And sorry, it does seem like I'm getting emotional. I'm not. I'm just proud.
I know, it's quite an achievement. I mean, we've all got lumps in our throats.
Exactly.
Don't be ashamed.
But it's when you hear what happened next that you will really be struck down by emotion. Because imagine you're Ian Neal and you've grown this 6-stone Swede. Perhaps it's been celebrated in the local papers. You've turned on the XFM Breakfast Show. They're banging on about the heaviest blueberry. You're getting nothing. Yeah. Then one day, you get an email alert saying that there is a YouTube video for you that someone's recorded to congratulate you on your massive vegetable. And it turns out that it's Snoop Dogg. So a gardener was stunned when rapper Snoop Dogg posted a video on YouTube congratulating him on growing a massive veg. Ian Neal smashed the Guinness World Record for the biggest Swede with his 6-stone, 1.5-pound specimen. Now, rapper Snoop, 39, is seen wearing a Cardiff City shirt and saying... Well, let's let him say it.
What up, though? Shout out to my homeboy Ian Neal in Cardiff for breaking the world's records for the biggest vegetable. Man, I want to tell you something, man. When I do my show in Cardiff, I want you to come backstage and see me because I do vegetation myself, and I want to know your secret so I can show you my vegetables and see if you can grow that into a real big vegetable. So Ian Neal from Cardiff, come see your boy Snoop Dogg. I got two tickets for you when I get to town. You dig?
The greatest story of all time. The greatest story of all time.
Well, I never.
Look at Phil. Phil is bent over and he's shaking like a little leaf, like a little Greek leaf. Your thoughts, Phil?
It's too much.
It's far too much. I mean, I think we all know the type of vegetation Snoop is talking about that he wants tips on growing, you know, and I don't think that Ian Neal wants any part of that. Ian's mainly concentrating on the Swede.
No, he didn't use hydroponics to grow that Swede.
No, he did not. No, he used good old-fashioned Welsh ingenuity. So hopefully Ian will nevertheless go along and see Snoop, you know.
I hope so, yeah.
Share some of his tips, but not all of them, because it is illegal, Snoop Dogg. On the line to play Quizface, we have a confirmed listener. James, are you there?
Hello, I am.
Today's Quizface has a culinary theme. Are you into food? How often do you eat? Every day or more than once a day? Or?
I'm a heavy feeder.
A heavy feeder, all right. Up to three times a day, says James. Right, then, if you're ready, let's get quizzical.
Quizzy.
Okay, James. Should know the rules of cuisine by now. You are Sergio, the hapless Italian chef, brought over to work at Abruzzi's Italian restaurant in Stoke by your auntie, a peculiar woman you don't really get on with. Now, James, you have been put in charge of making the pizzas. Oh, no, James. It's a Tuesday, and it's 5 p.m, and there's a Russian. The Russian's name is Ivan. He's brought with him every member of the local Russian society. That's nine people, James. And they all want pizzas. Uh-oh, James, the orders are through. Here's what you have to do. Catch the ingredients as the chief Russian calls them out to you by including the name of the ingredient in the following sentence, James. You have to say, I am now applying the, then the ingredient, to the pizza. So if you were to hear the chief Russian say this...
Peppers.
What would you say, James?
I am now applying the apples to the pizza.
Okay, or peppers. It is a heavy accent that Matt applied to that, but that's absolutely fine. If you're ready to go, then, we have 21 seconds from now.
Eggplant. Sliced Italian sausage. Yeah. Catnip.
Eggplant to the
pizzas. They've got catnip.
Banana peppers. An egg. Lavender, some spinach, shredded parmesan, doner meat.
Okay, I've got to stop you there. You have applied banana peppers, eggplant, catnip, spinach, and another one. I can't read my own writing. But that's one, two, three, four. That's five different ingredients. You made a giant sort of eggplant pepper pizza. Let's run it quickly past the pizza master.
Valid.
Great, that is a valid pizza. Well done, James. We can move on. The Russians are happy for now, but... Oh, what's this? Oh, James, more Russians. There's a Russian rush on. These guys, they mean business. You, James, have to remember the correct table number and the pizza that they want. You have 21 seconds from now. James, what kind of pizza did table three want? No, they wanted a Four Seasons. What did table six want?
Ham and pineapple.
No, they wanted a meat feast. What did table nine want?
Eggplant.
Oh, yes, absolutely correct. We were going to move to desserts there, but you are out of time. Bad luck. There is still one more chance, though, James. You can play your joker if you like. You'll lose all your points so far, but this does give you one last crack at winning those tickets. Do you want to play your joker?
Yes.
Okay, James, here we go. Let's make this a bit more tense. James, complete the sentence. We are...
XFM.
There you go! You pulled it back. Oh, James. I was so worried for you there. It's almost like it was too complicated this week. XFM. All week, ladies and gentlemen, we've been sort of going, oh, look at us, look at us. Oh, look, we've got Kirsten Dunst on the show on Friday. Oh, you know, James Corden, you know, Sean Ryder, Keith Lemon, Kirsten Dunst, Friday. So, because she's an A-list big old star, right, they wanted to do what they sometimes do, which is arrange a pre-recorded interview, which was like 10:05 yesterday, so straight after the show. And ordinarily, we don't do that. We prefer to do it live. It's better, all that kind of stuff. But we thought for Kirsten, yes, we will do that. That's fine, no worries. So we all went down there, didn't we, Dave and Matt? We went there and we waited for Kirsten. Kirsten. I keep saying Kirsten. And we did the interview. The interview went great, didn't it? It
was she was dreamy.
She was a dreamboat. Yeah. She was charming. She was intelligent. She was forthcoming with her answers.
Yeah.
The couple of, you know, strange moments. At one point, she used the rudest word possible.
Yeah. it was just amazing.
It was incredible. Yeah, it was. I wanted that as my ringtone. Yeah. We all got on. There was a little bit of flirting. It was that kind of. It was a great little interview. Yeah. And what happened, Dave?
The computer that we recorded the interview on crashed.
Yes.
The second after we stopped the interview.
But it's just a pity that we can't bring you that interview. So what I've done, Matt, is when I found out that happened, I wrote down quickly the interview as I remembered it. And I thought it might be nice for us to do the interview with you playing the part of Kirsten. Kirsten Dunst. Will you pass that to Matt? So I've written a few words there for you.
I couldn't possibly do
Well, you're going to have to. So
couldn't
I've
do
it
her
down.
Justice.
Well, you're going to have to, I'm afraid. So this is how I remember the interview. Morning, it's 7:44. This is the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and sitting beside me is the wonderful A-list actress Kirsten Dunst. Kirsten, hello. Thank you for coming on the show.
Not at all. I'm very excited.
It says tired, but that's fine.
Sorry, tired. Yeah.
Your new film, Melancholia, is out today, Kirsten, and it's terrifically long.
Thank you. It's a really long film. It was an honour to work with the director Lars von Trier and do a film as long as this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bit sad too, isn't it?
Yes, it is a bit sad, although there's a bit near the start that's funny.
Yes, that was a funny bit. Did I say your name right just then?
No, I don't mind, but it's Kirsten.
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 I don't mind.
Was it an honour to work with the director Lars von Trier?
Yeah, it was a big honour. He's made some of my favourite long films in the past.
He made this film really long, didn't
he? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Now that we've covered your film, would you like to hear some ideas I have for you?
I would, so much so that I am to adopt a slightly flirty tone, which I hope will make you feel like in another life we might have been man and wife.
Right.
Although I will be careful to do this in a way that simultaneously strongly disavows you to this notion.
Okay, good. Why do you keep looking at your manager?
I don't know. What are your ideas?
Well, the first one is called Dunst Unst, and it's about the Isle of Unst.
I intend to laugh along politely at this, but secretly I will worry that you are not taking my long film seriously.
Okay, I also wrote one called Kirsten Dunst, Dunstable Cursed.
I will agree to do this one if it means you will not pitch any more.
I do have one more.
I want to make you feel I'm delighted by your terrible announcement, even though I'm late for my interview with Woman's Hour.
What was the best thing about doing this film?
It was an honour to work with the director, Lars von Trier.
Thank you very much, Kirsten.
Kirsten.
Kirsten. There you go, that was the Kirsten Dunst interview in just over 2 minutes. Did you really got into the role there? I didn't expect you to do
that. Yeah, it was pretty much exactly as it happened, though.
It was.
We are
XFM. Just been discussing the Scandinavian love of nasal sprays. We've got nothing else really to tell you about that. I just thought it'd be nice to update you as to the topics of conversation in the studio. You're trying out a new nasal spray, aren't you, Matt?
Yeah.
How's it going for you?
It's to stop snoring, this one.
Yeah, is it working?
I've just ordered it, sorry. You know, I had the gum shield.
Yeah, oh my God.
That really
How long did it take you to get ready for bed?
That didn't work for me. I can't sleep with a big bit of plastic in my mouth.
So you go away.
So now I've ordered the snore spray online, so it should arrive later in the week.
Great.
I'll give you an update next week.
Sounds perfectly safe ordering nasal sprays online.
Yeah, from weird
countries.
That's it, yeah.
You got your hair net, your gum shield, your nasal spray, your little white gloves that you wear so you don't scratch yourself like
scratch
a baby.
Bits. Yeah, the scratch bits.
Oh, man. Someone please draw a picture of what Matt Dyson looks like as he gets ready for bed and do send it in to the show. I'm going to buy some rollers next week as well.
XFM. Tell us something we don't know.
So we asked you to tell us something we don't know about the rapper Snoop Dogg, all thanks to the fact that he got in touch with the Welsh gardener Ian Neil to congratulate him on growing a prize-winning Swede. Turns out there is so much we don't know about this this fascinating and complex man. What's at number five?
At number five.
Well, it's courtesy of confirmed listener Jim, who says that Snoop Doggy Dogg has the power to make wolves cry. I don't know how he knows that, but I believe it. What's at number four?
At number four.
That's confirmed listener Mark in Waterloo.
Snoop Dogg is a massive fan of Warhammer, and he spends hours meticulously painting the small animals.
The small plastic warriors as well, I think he was going for. Yeah. What's at number three?
At number three.
Confirmed listener Andy in Croydon says this.
It's a little known fact that, despite his name, Snoop Dogg is actually a type of cat.
It's a type of cat. It's a common misconception about Snoop Dogg. What is at number two,
at
Matt?
Number two.
On a similar theme, confirmed listener Joe, Snoop Dogg's great-great-grandfather was the inventor of the dog.
Oh, that's how he got his name, I suppose. All right, great. And what is at number one?
And the number one thing you told us that we didn't know in today's Tell Us Something That We Don't Know is...
courtesy of confirmed listener Chris in Maidenhead.
Snoop Dogg always carries an umbrella for drizzle.
For drizzle!
XFM.
Tony Bowen's here, everybody. Hello, Tony. How's it going?
I'm fantastically well.
Well, I hope you are. So what are we going to do today, Tony?
Well, I thought we could do a little bit of Killers.
Yeah, that'd be great. And, why don't you do... I'll tell you what, why don't you introduce it and then crack on. We'll kill that music bed and I will hand over to Tony Bowen.
All right, this is When You Were Young by the Killers.
Waiting on some beautiful boy to save you from your own ways. You play forgiveness, watch him out. Here he comes, he doesn't look a thing like Jesus, but he looks like a gentleman, like you imagine when you were young. Can we climb this mountain? I don't know. Higher now than ever before. I know we can make it if we take it slow. Let's take it easy, watch it now. Ghost, it doesn't look a thing like Jesus, but he talks like a gentleman, like you imagine when you were young. And sometimes you close your eyes and see the place where you used to live when you were young. They say the devil's water, it ain't so sweet. You don't have to leave right now, but you can keep your feet every once in a little while.
Tony Bowen! Excellent work!
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
If you just tuned in, you missed Matt Dyson almost channeling Kirsten Dunst. It was an extraordinary, almost frightening and beautiful moment. There was controversy, though, during her visit. I mean, she walked through, she was gliding through the sort of the newsroom, a vision in white, very tall and blonde and friendly.
Like an angel.
Like an angel in many ways. Yeah, like... Florence Nightingale, apart from, you know, not healing people.
Yeah.
What was the news on the street? What was the word on the street when her visit there? There was some controversy.
Absolutely. Just as I was leading her out.
I can't believe this.
She was... No, I can't. I still can't.
Yeah.
She was walking through the newsroom. By the way, the newsroom is still buzzing off this story.
I heard, yeah. Phil was saying that everyone's still banging on
about it. Gossip flying around that newsroom. Yeah. As she walked past our mobile canteen, you know, the trolley that goes past with all the food on.
Yeah, the person who pushes the flying fruit and nuts and stuff.
Absolutely. You can get all sorts, but obviously at a fee.
Well, it's a pay for... It's not a help yourself buffet.
No, it's a profit-making business.
Yeah.
She walked past the trolley and just took a banana.
Jesus.
You think
you...
Yourself.
Yeah. Just help yourself. You know someone, don't you? I mean, we all got on. It was fine. We offered her a coffee or a water. Yeah. She turned that down. But all the while, Dunce was thinking, I'm going to nick a banana. I am going to nick a banana off these people.
Yeah.
And it's just because... she wouldn't do that at the BBC, would she?
No, of course not.
No, that'd be stealing from the taxpayer. Just because it's a commercial operation.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, well, I'll take from these guys.
The guy pushing the trolley, you should have seen his face. He didn't know what to do.
Well, what do you do when Kirsten Dunst nicks your banana?
Well, he...
Here comes Phil. Phil's walking in. Phil, we're just talking about Kirsten Dunst stealing the banana. What's the word in the newsroom?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's the hot topic. No one can believe that she would be so audacious as to just take a banana like that.
Well, it was a bold move, wasn't it?
But she did it with such grace.
Really?
Oh, she did.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mind then.
An element of mischief.
Yeah.
She didn't mean it. It's kind of, you know, it's
she meant it.
She
meant
it. And if she'd asked, we'd have given her the banana.
Yeah.
Are you going to forgive Kirsten Dunst?
Yeah, of course. I've already forgiven her.
Good. Well, I think we should get in touch with her representatives and let her know that we will not be charging for that banana. Matt, can I leave that with you?
Yeah, I'll happily pay for it for her.
Good man. Dave, what's happening now?
Bombay Bicycle Club, your record of the week.
Look at him, he's holding up a little bit of paper that also says it while saying it. It's like you're trying to subtitle yourself. You're a fool to yourself. There's no way you're going to keep this up.
No, I can do it all.
We are XFM.
I wonder what we have learnt today, Matt. Why don't you tell me what you've learnt?
Well,
yes.
Fact number one, Danny used the word beaver 22 times in one link earlier. He was talking about an animal.
Of course it was.
But that is a record for a breakfast show in the UK, beating the previous record set by Dr. Fox.
Was he mainly mentioning foxes?
Yes.
I see. Okay, good. Today's show saw one persistent texter text the show with the word test 8 times. Why they were using our text system to test their mobile phone rather than, say, texting a friend or a loved one, I don't know, but I can confirm, texter, your phone works.
Interesting. Fluff levels in the studio have reached a 3-month peak thanks to 2 members of the team running out of hair product over the weekend.
Celebrity lookalikes spotted outside the window today included sauntering across Leicester Square, a Pam Ayres, a Lemmy from Motorhead, the butler from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, John Craven, Richard Pryor, and the cast of Emmerdale.
Alicia Snowden got sent a big chocolate cake with a face on it.
Yes.
Made from icing this morning.
Yeah.
Danny got sent 3 cold crumpets in a basket.
I did. And topics discussed off-air included whether man can live by meat alone, whether a hardened baguette could be fashioned into a trumpet, or similar. And, of course, Lucy Veeraswamy.
XFM.
So there you go, that was podcast number 11. We've got another one planned next week, which so far is known as podcast 12. Or if you'd like to listen live, we're on every day from 6:30 on 104.9 FM, XFM, or DAB, or just listen to this podcast. Bye!
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace!